What makes you think she's a witch?
Well, she turned me into a newt.
A newt?
I got better.
Welcome to the 250. I'm Danielle, and I'm here with Erica Bullock.
Hello.
Host of Taste Test.
Here I am.
How are you, Erica?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
It's been a while since we've done a 250.
It's been a while. It has.
It has.
Yes. Yeah. Was it Inside Out?
Was I that think so.
One? Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
We just, you know, my have things to do. Or we're just watching movies and not talking about it, which is realistically what's going on.
Silent about them. Yeah. So, today, we actually watched this movie the Wednesday right after the election. Because we were like, oh, we needed to record one, and then that happened. So we were like, we should watch something, you know, fun, light, not super heavy. So we chose Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Woo!
Yes. Erica has never seen the movie.
Which is surprising.
It's very surprising.
Because it's like exactly my kind of humor. It's just like smart meta humor. Yeah. And I love it.
This movie is like really weird.
Oh, it's so good.
I love it.
It's just like, it's a bunch of sketches just in one, like in a
like
movie.
Like loosely connected.
They're like, hey, we do this thing, but let's turn it into a long movie thing.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, let's just smush everything we do into one place. I loved it. I thought it was so good.
Yeah.
Oh, so funny.
So the film starts with, it kind of like lets you know what you're getting into.
Where does it start?
With the title cards, with like the Swedish like
so good
subtitles that like turn into like a story about the moose, and then they just talk about like not harming mooses, and I love it. It's great. So I figured I'd take a page out of Erica's book. Actually, no, first we have to I haven't done this in a while, guys. First we have to do IMDb movie.
Before you steal from me.
Oh my God,
let's
I stole
steal
your
from IMDb
list. Also, I totally stole your suspense.
It's okay
list, I'm sorry.
It's fine, I didn't have one.
Okay, good.
Okay. There's no suspense in Monty Python, just hilarity.
Just
and jokes.
Hilarity. Okay,
and
so
coconut house.
We're gonna. Okay, this is a long plot synopsis. We'll go to plot summary. That seems like the better.
Is this the evaluation of IMDb's user base?
Yes,
I love it.
Just the like. I don't know. I feel like it'd be really interesting to say, like, what kind of person is like on IMDb?
And oh, it'd
like,
be such an interesting profile to write.
That people need to know the plot of this movie, and I'm the one to give it to them.
I am the plot master.
Like, it's up to me. Like, who takes it upon themselves
I'm
to
the
make
only
these?
One who knows it and really gets it.
And you get all the nuance. A lot of people don't.
It's probably a bunch of filmmakers.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. 100%.
Oh, man.
Okay, so the first one is by Gary K. MCD.
Cool.
And it says, history is turned on its comic head when in 10th century England, King Arthur travels to the countryside to find knights who will join him at the round table in Camelot. Gathering up the men is a tale in itself, but after a bit of a party at Camelot, many decide to leave only to be stopped by God, who sends them on a quest to find the Holy Grail. After a series of individual adventures, the knights are reunited, but must face a wizard named Tim, killer rabbits, and lessons in the use of holy hand grenades. Their quest comes to an end, however, when the police intervene, just what you would expect in a Monty Python movie.
I understand now that it is very hard to give a plot synopsis of this movie because
it really is.
It's so, like, there's so many anachronistic parts that just, like, get thrown in there and you're like, that's not in this 10th century setting.
Yeah.
Just, like, a lot of weirdness. I think that was very good. The first sentence, great job of just, like, landing on you. This is the time, this is the place, this is what's going on. Very journalism-y.
Yes, I loved it.
Great. Devolved a little when they're like, by the way, the police show up. But
also,
so does the movie.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
So,
yeah.
No, that was great. That was very straightforward. Congrats. What's his face?
Gary.
You film student at NYU. You're doing great.
You did it. But yeah, that's my thing when I forgot. Because I've seen this movie a bunch of times, but every time I watch it, there's so many parts that you forget about. Because what you, I don't know, after a while, you're just left with, oh yeah, it's about like King Arthur and the Round Table, and it's like kind of funny. But then you're like, no, it's not.
It's not that at all.
What I don't...
It's about police and humor and low-budget filmmaking.
Yeah, it's great. I don't know. I feel like what you can, like, really get see in this movie is just, like, a bunch of friends, like, dicking around.
Well, I totally see why this film has become such a, like, cult film, you know? Maybe mm-hmm. not, maybe cult isn't the right word, but, like, a popular film that, like, people love so much and quote all the time, because there's just so much quotable material here.
Yeah.
And it's just all in one place, and you can watch it and be like, that's my favorite scene, that's my favorite scene.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I had a lot of friends in high school who quoted Monty Python. I don't know why that wasn't impetus enough for me to watch it, but I guess it wasn't. But still, it's, like, it's something that people really dearly love for very specific characters, very specific sketches.
Yes.
It's kind of like when you go to an improv show or, like, a comedy bit, and there's, like, that one shtick that they have that you, like, talk about with your friends after.
Yeah.
That's, like, what this whole movie is. But it's just always there, because you can always go back to it.
Yeah.
I really liked it. Maybe yeah. I should write the plot synopsis.
No, it's such a good one. Okay, so the other one, there's one that's, like, a really long-ass paragraph, so we're not going to read that one. There's some one-sentence ones.
Ooh, let's get into the quick hits.
Let's see if they can do it. Okay, this one's, like, the really half-assed one. There's only one, but okay.
Way to preface that with your already it's opinionated
literally
version.
A sentence.
Okay.
I'm ready. It's written by John Reeves.
Okay.
jreeves@imdb.com.
Oh, wow.
Also, if you wanted his email.
We should probably contact him after this.
Yeah, and be like, what's the deal? A little more effort, please.
Try harder. Do better.
Okay. King Arthur and his knights embark on a low-budget search for the Grail, encountering many very silly obstacles. Like,
that's so, like, mean, fair? Too. But also, they're not embarking on a low budget. The movie's embarking on a thing.
Yeah.
And the movie's the one with the low... but, okay, to be fair, they do conflate, like, the production of the movie with the movie itself,
which
is fair, but I don't think it's fair to do that in one sentence. No, no, no.
Yeah. It's so much more than that.
Also,
if,
like,
you had to do it in one sentence, I don't think that was the worst one, but, like...
No.
If you're...
But is it really a quest for the Holy Grail?
It's not. I mean, it is,
I feel
but
like
also,
it's them being
it's
like,
not.
We have all these funny things we want to put into a movie, but oh, crap,
we gotta end it.
Like,
it needs, like, a structure, sort of, I
we
guess.
Need an overarching plot.
Yeah. Okay. So, should I do Monty Python facts? Is that
yeah,
interesting?
Let's do it.
Let's
oh,
do
I'm,
it.
Oh, I'm
It's not
interested.
Really, like, facts, but it's fine. It's just, like, history of Monty Python.
Yes. Oh, interesting that you're doing a history.
I don't know, I just felt like...
a commentary. Weird. Wonder where you got that.
I'm not trying to, like, copy taste it, because it's, like, everyone's favorite podcast. No, never,
not
never,
at
never.
All.
Not yet. What? Anyway. Okay.
Never mind. I'm an innovator, whatever.
It's fine. Everyone wants to be me. Okay, so.
Okay, teach me. I'm
Monty
ready.
Python was first formed in the 60s.
Cool.
And they came out with their sketch comedy show, Monty Python and the Flying Circus.
Ah.
In 1969.
Not Cirque du Soleil.
No.
Different. Okay. Different Flying Circus.
45 episodes, 4 seasons, sketch comedy. It's probably.
That sounds lovely.
Yes. And it's, like, often named, like, one of the most influential, like, pieces of works of comedy.
Oh, seriously? And I haven't seen it?
Yep.
God.
Get it
together, woman. Why am I even here? You should really not invite me on these culture things. I'm obviously,
like,
not cultured.
So uncultured. I feel like it's good perspective, so it's fine.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. The Monty Python is comprised of John Cleese, Terry Jones, Michael Palin, Graham Chapman, Eric Idle, and Terry Gilliam.
I've heard all of these names before.
Yeah, especially
now
John
I can
Cleese.
Finally place them.
Yeah. Also, John Cleese has a YouTube channel. He just, like, put it up. He makes, like, old videos, and sometimes he'll, like, post, like, old Monty Python things.
Really?
It's really cute.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Bring it into the 21st century.
Really?
Yeah. So they were so influential, in fact, that they actually have a word. Python-esque is now, like,
is it in the dictionary?
I'm pretty sure it's in the dictionary.
Oh, that's like, do you remember when Fergie did that with Fergalicious?
Right.
She was like, let me put it in the dictionary. And I'm like, what are you doing? But also,
good
wow,
for
props.
Right? Like, get
I want to make up a word that has my name in it
yeah.
and then be like, yo, Webster's.
And got something for
insert.
You. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
I wonder what the definition of Fergalicious is. Like,
make them boys go crazy.
Yeah, yes. But, like, she's Ferg... This is a sidetracked conversation for another time.
Stay tuned for our linguistics podcast.
Where we break down the most important words. Such as Fergalicious. Yeah. Also, a group of, like, comedians and, like, comedy critics, I guess, got together and, like, you know how they do, like, polls of, like, the most important, like, blah blah blahs of the blah blah blah.
Yeah, with famous people
yeah.
saying, like, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. So they did the most influential comedians, and John Cleese is number 2, Eric Idle is number 21,
wow.
and Michael Palin is number 30.
Oh, wow, that sucks for those other two.
Yeah, they're like, okay.
Oh my god, that would suck if that, like, came out and they were still in a troupe together and they had to come to work the next day and be like, yeah, you can take the main part. That's
yeah.
fine. Whatever.
It's cool. It's like, you're the most important one, but, like, it's fun.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, you can tell they're comedy greats. They have great delivery.
Yeah, great delivery, and it's just, like, a sense of just, like, whimsy and, like,
and fun. So they starred and wrote, yes?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, first, I figured we would talk about, like, our favorite, like, sketch
Out of the movie. I was hoping you would ask this. Yeah.
What was your favorite one?
My favorite one is when the animator disappears. It's like, so funny. Like, they literally... So, the context, plot, ruining, whatever, spoilers, etc. At the very end, they have to fight this, like, monster bunny.
Yep.
And it turns into a dragon. Or no.
They, like, vanquish the bunny, go into the cave, and then there's, like, also and then there's a monster a dragon. In the cave.
Okay, yes. So there are multiple monsters and bunnies and things happening. Anyways, animated monster appears, and you're like, this is... different because it's not live action, and they're fighting the monster, and the way that the monster perishes is that the animator of the monster dies, quits.
He has like a heart attack.
He has a heart attack at his easel. I remember that. Yeah, they show the easel. That's just so funny, and it's such a weird man, because it's obviously like you're in it, you're in the universe of Monty Python, and you know, what was it, like 935 AD? Yeah. I don't know. You're, like, in that little area, and all of a sudden it's like, by the way, here we are zooming out to, like, the production crew, someone dies. And it's like, obviously that's part of, like, a greater plot, but it's just so clever.
Yeah.
Like, and you never think of the hero story as, like, oh, yeah, someone was literally like, I need to end this. And yeah, they're like, just so upfront about being like, we gotta end the film.
I love that. I love, like, they clearly, like, painted themselves in the narrow corner, and they were like,
I'm like, we'll kill the animator. That's fine. We'll just, like, move it away a level from realistic.
Yeah, because like, they do that a couple of times. Awesome. Like, they do the animator thing, and they also do, like, the historian who's, like, talking about, like,
oh, my God, the historian's Arthur. Great, too. I totally forgot. There's so many little sketches.
Yeah, and then, like, Lancelot kills him, and then his, like, wife's like, oh, my God! And then that's how the movie ends. Like, the movie, like, doesn't have, like, a definitive ending. I think they're going into battle, and then, like, the police just show up because Lancelot has killed this man, and they arrest him.
I remember we were watching this, and we were eating ice cream, and I think I literally, like, ice cream fell out of my mouth because I was like, that's what? Like, that's it? Like, that's how
that's
it ends.
That's the end.
But then, like, you let that ending settle in for a little, you let the reactions, and you're like, that was perfect. That was exactly how this was supposed to end. I also love the scene. I think they're in that weird, like, home of virgins or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy just turns to the camera and he's like, is this funny? Like, do you guys like this? And I was like, whoa, I love that. I usually hate breaking the fourth wall because it makes me really uncomfortable. Usually hate it in musicals because it's like, I'm sitting there and then they're like, hey, and I'm like, no, I'm just watching in the dark, no. Just
please
leave me alone, leave me alone. But in movies like this, it's just so funny, and it's very self-aware, and I love self-aware humor. I think it's great.
Yeah.
What's your favorite scene, Danielle?
I think my favorite is always the witch one, because it's the one I quote the most. Because it's just, like, it's so ridiculous.
Explain the scene for our listeners.
So, basically, there's a bunch of, like, there's, like, an angry mob, and they're, like, they have this woman, and they've, like, clearly dressed her up as a witch, and they're like, burn her! She's a witch! She's a witch! They take it to, I think, Merlin is who it is, and he's this, like, scientific guy, and he's just basically, like, he's, like, coaching them into how to determine if she's so a witch, good. But it's, like, the most convoluted, backwards, like, doesn't make any sense. It's, so like, good. Witches are made of wood, which floats in water. And then, because wood floats in water, she must weigh the same as a duck, therefore she's a witch, because ducks also float in water. But, like, the way they get there is just so...
It's like, yeah, it's a transitive property of, like, everything.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah.
No.
So funny. Yeah. And then, oh, yeah, they've dressed her up because they have that cone on her face.
Yeah.
To, like, give her, like, a pointed nose, and they're like, look at it. And she's just, it's, like, not real. And you're like,
yeah. Wow, this is... And he goes, she turned me into a newt. And everyone's like, what? He goes... better. And it's like, it's...
You have a very good British accent.
Thank you, my mom's British.
Oh!
I try.
Wow. The more you know.
But, yeah.
That's a great scene.
I love that scene.
Oh, man.
And then it turns out she actually, like, does weigh the same as a duck, so she, like, gets burned, and you're like, no!
Oh, it's so real! Oh, God.
I love it, because it's just, like, the way they portray, like, this, like, horrible logic that, like, actually existed is the other thing.
Yeah, but, like, you think of, like, the way they did, like, the Salem witch trials and stuff like that, and they had convoluted logic like that.
Yeah.
They're just, like, pointing it out where we can laugh at it because it's in the context of something laughable.
But, like,
and their presentation is really good, but, like,
that happened.
That's, like, someone making an argument, like, oh, I don't know, climate change doesn't exist. You know, it's just, like, those things exist.
It snowed, so climate change doesn't exist.
That's, like, the exact same thing logic. As the duck argument. It just makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And you can't laugh at it when it's real, but you can laugh at it when it's in Monty Python. one.
No, it's great. There's so many great ones. I mean, another favorite one is the Black Knight.
Yeah, that's a classic. That's actually the one scene that I had seen before watching the movie. And being very confused and being like, what is this movie about? Yeah. And then watching it and being like, oh, it's about nothing.
Still don't know. Yeah, no, it's like, it's just so many like quotable things, like the airline swallow, the like...
It's just too much.
I love it. But yeah, was there one that like didn't work for you though?
One that didn't work for me. Oh, that's a good question. I feel like I probably wouldn't remember it.
We were distracted by the Hoya. We're back now. Hey.
Hi. I thought of a scene that did not fly well with me, or fly with me, or sit well. I don't know. Movement with me was not good. I felt like whenever it moved into cartoon to, like, explain stuff in those flat cartoons, really just weirded me out. It was very strange. I didn't follow it. I don't know. That was just... I didn't like it as a transition.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's Maybe fair. I need to watch it again and, like, look for more subtleties, but I was more a fan of the, like, sketch comedy, all of them in person doing their kind of physical but also very, like, meta humor.
Yeah.
So.
That's fair.
What about you?
That's fair. Yeah, I think I would say, like, the cartoony parts. Because, like, I don't know, the best parts of them just being, like, weird.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yes. Oh, entirely.
Yeah.
I thought the version scene was really weird, too.
Yeah, but it was still, like, funny, because then they
were,
like...
It was funny, but it was, like, all the care... I don't know, this is maybe me going too into, like, gender politics. But I'm just saying, like, you know, they're, like, all men troop.
Yeah.
And it's kind of felt like they just wrote in that scene to be like, oh, yeah...
But then they also, women. I think the fact that they, like, cut out of it at a point and were, like, they said something about, like, it being weird or, like...
Yeah, well, that was when the guy goes, like, oh, is this funny? Like, do you think this is funny?
I don't know.
So I appreciated that. But on the surface, like, when I first, like, that scene kind of hit me funny. I was like, oh, this is weird.
Uncomfortable. Like, all these women
all
just,
all these women that you just, like, wrote into your own script that's, like, an all-male troupe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. But I think they, like, I don't know.
They navigated moved past it. Well, yes, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
So I think... There are a bunch of, like, really fun... Because, like, the making of this movie was very, like, not super planned.
Yeah, I was reading a bit about it. It seemed very haphazard.
Yeah. So, like, there are parts, like, the sorcerer's name is Tim. It was supposed to be something, like, hella long, and I think he just, like, forgot the names. He was like, Tim. And they just went with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so, they were supposed to use, like, a ton of different castles in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
To film, and then, like, a week before, Scotland was like, just kidding, you can't use them, and they could only use
literally
like,
Scotland told them no.
Yeah, Scotland was like, just kidding,
how do you
sorry.
Contact Scotland right? about like, their castles?
Just be like, hey, come
I wonder how that process works, though, when people are like, I need to film in a castle that is, like, a national monument.
Yeah.
You and can't, like, literally
you have to get, like,
call Scotland.
And ish.
Yeah, you'd have to go, oh, man.
Yeah, so, like, all of the castles in the movie are just, like, this one castle.
Oh,
that
really?
They could use from, like, different angles and distances.
No way, really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
And apparently some of them, like, from a distance are cardboard cutouts in, like, some of the castles. It says some of the castles seen in the film are, in fact, cardboard cutouts in the distance.
Oh,
Camelot
really?
Is one of the cardboard cutouts.
Oh, my God, so I'm gonna have to go back and watch.
Yeah, so apparently, so this is from filmscoreregist.com, and it's, like...
Oh, yes.
So, like, the commentary from the movie, and they just kind of, like, compiled a list of... interesting things. And yeah, so like, you know the scene where they're like looking at Camelot and they're like, oh, we're gonna go to Camelot, and there's like, there's so many like weird ass musical numbers too. I love it.
Yeah. Oh man, the one where they're all like tap dancing inside the castle
in Camelot.
You're
yeah
like, what? What? I did not think this was a musical.
Yeah, so they have, so they're like, all of the like the round table is standing outside of this castle. The castle is only like 30 feet away from them. It's like a cardboard
oh
cutout.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's so weird how you can play with perspective on film, because it's just like you see it as a flat image.
And I love how it's just like one of those things, like, it didn't work out, so they had to like...
That's crazy. I feel like, yeah, I was reading this and a lot of things were just very low budget. Like, wasn't this the article that talks about the moose scene?
Yeah.
Being like, the reason they have the moose scene is because they didn't have enough money for fancy opening screens.
So they just...
So they were like, well, we'll just do, like, you know, we'll do subtitles. And that's so clever because it's like, then you have a whole nother layer of storytelling that's happening on top of the, like, visual part. You have, like, the written part.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And it's genius. But it's interesting because then it reminds you that, like, sometimes budget constraints can actually, like, give a lot of creative freedom to the development team, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, and so also, so the Black Knight scene, so John Cleese plays the Black Knight for most of the time, but when he cuts off his leg, it's actually, like, just a dude that, like, doesn't have a leg.
That's so
also, like,
silly.
Where did they... Yeah.
Were they just like, can you imagine that casting call?
Yeah,
like, that'd be, like, a kind of insensitive casting call.
Yeah, man, like, with one leg.
That's it. Only criteria.
It's fine.
Definitely using you for
you
your lack
no
of
lines.
Limb. God. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. It took... Yeah, so... The scene was filmed near the end of the production when the film had all but run out of money. It took nearly a week to shoot.
That scene took a week?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm trying to... That seems like the least complicated scene.
Well, actually, it's probably the most complicated scene, because he's gotta, like... They gotta, like, figure out a way to, like, cut off the limb.
Well, okay, look. I take my arm and I put it
Erica's
here.
Erica's currently putting her arm into her jacket.
Sweater. And then you just get, like... Like
a fake arm.
No, not even a fake arm. You just, like, take a pillow and you cut a strip that's an arm size and you stick it in there and then you put a glove on top of it and sew it on.
Blood, too.
Did they have... Oh, they did have blood. But that's, like, cinematic blood stuff. Like,
yeah,
they just have pouches
of that. I feel like
it's
probably the most involved scene.
Are you serious? Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
Okay, like, think of another scene that's, like, more involved than that. Maybe, like the rabbit scene.
Anytime... The throwing of the animals over the castle. They have to go up to the castle. First, they have to find the animals. They have to make them or sew them, whatever they do.
Just get animals
and then they have to go up
the
castle, and then they have to throw it over. And then what if they don't like the cut? Then they have to do it all over. Okay, I do agree. It would be kind of complicated to film all those things. But I'm just saying, through my demonstration, you can see how cutting a limb off, fakely... Would not be as hard as one thinks. I'm a did I tell you I do special effects?
I clearly. Tell that to
no,
someone
I
who
just
does
watch
special
a lot
effects.
Of Face Off on the Sci-Fi Network.
I'm sure you just watch a lot. Like,
have
when
you
you're
seen
watching
that?
Movies. It's like a like one
it's
of those
like special effects makeup competition.
Yeah.
It's like Project Runway, but for sci-fi nerds. Wow, it's so cool. Shout out Face Off. Great
sponsor us.
Show. Yeah, sponsor us, please.
Yeah. But yeah.
We're talking about like budgets and complicated shots and how long it takes. I just think it's so cool that it's such a low budget thing and they like were aware of it and then you kind of see it, but at the same time you're like, wow, that's a really creative way around a problem.
Yeah. No, I love that. And then there's just so many like fun stories and stuff. Like the rabbit, like the rabbit that like
I read the story. Yeah,
tell
the story.
Demon rabbit, they like they use like dye to like dye this like white rabbit's like mouth red so it would like look like it like ate the people, but then like the dye like kind of permanently dyed these, it was like someone else's rabbit. They
That's
just like
so funny.
They just got linked
they didn't
a rabbit
even have money for a rabbit.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't even bother buying a rabbit because they didn't want to spend however much rabbits cost.
Yeah,
I'm gonna look up how much rabbits cost while
probably
we talk.
Not too much, but yeah, so they like dyed this rabbit's mouth red like assuming it would come off, and then it just like didn't. Like I can't imagine being like,
but no, but that's also so cool, because then you're like, look, this rabbit is the Monty Python rabbit, and they're like, how? And you're like,
look
at
its mouth. Or just, everyone's dying their rabbit's mouth right now. Yeah.
So, why won't it, oh my gosh. Costs range from $5 to $20. That's not that much money.
That's much
if you're
cheaper
making
than
a
I was
film,
assuming.
I was thinking hundreds.
So was I.
Honestly.
A $5 rabbit? But also, I feel like you like, bought a rabbit, like, what are you going to do with the rabbit now? That you
I mean,
it.
Then you sell it, and you're like, this is the Monty Python rabbit.
Oh, true, true.
You wait a little bit, and then you go to an auction.
Cash in.
And then you cash in again, even though this, I think this movie made a lot of money, right?
I think
it
so.
Was, I remember reading, I think in the same article, that, like, people lined up around the block for it when it first came out.
Yeah, it's just like, it's so funny. I love this movie. It's like, it's just like one of those, it's like, we watched it at the perfect time. It's one of those movies you can just, like, throw on it. It'll, like, cheer you
it
up.
Was,
it's
yeah.
Just, like,
we needed it.
Because one, you can, like, quote it. Two, it's, like, hilarious. It never, like, stops being funny.
Three, it pairs very nicely with Talenti ice cream.
Oh, yes. An
Shout
entire
out to Talenti sponsor taste test.
Please sponsor us. Yeah. So it grossed, like, $1 million in the U.S. But it was,
really?
Like, during the 70s.
So what is that if we take into account inflation?
Yeah. As of, yeah. So it hasn't, yeah. As of, like, May 2012, it was, like, $1 million.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's just one of the, it's like one of those, because it's like very weird is the other thing. It's not like one
yeah,
of those
Yeah, it's
movies.
Not a mainstream blockbuster.
It's
so
not,
it's not
but it's
making
like,
millions
yeah,
of millions.
But it's
but
probably
I was
one of
expecting
like,
more than 1 million.
Yeah.
That's kind of surprising.
It's probably like one of the most
What about in,
because
this is a UK troupe,
yeah.
right? What
it
about
says,
the UK?
It doesn't say. It just, wait. Nope.
Nope.
Don't say.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
still, that is very surprising, because I feel like it comes up, I don't know, because you're a film minor. Does it come up in your film classes at all?
Like what? Monty Python?
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely could. Actually, I don't know. My film professor's like kind of brilliant, so like, I don't know if he would probably enjoy it, because it's got a lot of elements that are like very, like relevant to film and media studies and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, like the self-referentiality, I guess, like the like way that they just kind of like break from like any kind of like regular narrative, that like the fact that they have this like historian part, and then they just like at the end it's just like a huge like mess of like storylines and like timelines, and you really don't know what's
together,
going
but
on.
They all come together both like narratively and like in person. All the people are coming together and they're like, what are you doing here? I don't know, like it gets crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's and it also like really doesn't fit any kind of film genre, it definitely borrows from sketch comedy, and it borrows from kind of the hero's tale, the epic, etc., but it's not really, I feel like, I don't know, do you feel like Monty Python style has inspired similar...
Oh, definitely.
Similar, can you think of any, like, movies that it is akin to? I'm trying to think of any.
It just reminds me, I don't know if, hold on, I'd have to look this up, but it just kind of reminds me of a lot of, like, a lot of movies that Gene Wilder's in, with like the very offhand, weird humor.
Yeah,
not like super close, but I don't. I think it's definitely
Frankenstein.
Yeah, so definitely SNL.
Or Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely SNL with like the like sketch comedy. Like it just like I feel like SNL is probably like the.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a movie that is that self-aware that it like ends itself by going outside of the kind of like time. Like the historical time
that I'd have to do like research on, and I'm sure like there's so many things
I thought that was just so clever. Like I think whenever a film can kind of look at itself like that, it's always so much fun to watch, because it's just so clever, and I don't know, it's just such a different form. I know there's like a lot of I don't know if it would be postmodern literature, but there are some like pieces of postmodern lit that are very aware and that sort of stuff, but I can't really think of any films that do that, and maybe that is kind of indicative of its status in kind of the indie realm, or kind of the low budget film realm, and not in the kind of AAA stuff that we see a lot.
Yeah
It would be really weird if like an Avengers movie
just like ended like like with Stan Lee dying
to animate our $5 billion animation.
Yeah, Stan Lee dies and then the movie just ends
and you're like, what?
No, don't do that. But, this is probably one of my favorite movies to watch. My favorite thing about it is just, like, I love, like, you can just see, like, them. It just looks like a group of friends just, like, hanging out, coming up
and
with
making a
dumb
funny
shit.
Movie. Yeah,
but,
it's
like,
hilarious.
But it's so smart and, like, just so fun to watch.
Well, it's also so cool how, like, self-created it was.
Yeah.
You know? It's, like, them doing their sketch show, and then they're like, we want to make a movie, and, like, to the point that they had to borrow a rabbit to make it fit within their budget is just hilarious. Like, that's so great, and it really, I don't know, it's inherently very creative, and I like that.
Yeah. Hold on. One of the weirdest things about this movie is it was funded in part by Pink Floyd, Jethro Tull, and Led Zeppelin.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Their music isn't even in it.
No. They just, like, wanted to fund it.
Is that kind of like you have a friend who's in Led Zeppelin, and you're like, hey, man, I have this idea, and he's like, oh, let me pitch it to my band. Like, how does that happen?
I don't know, but
well, I mean, I guess, like, entertainer, musician, they'd probably be in similar circles.
Okay,
right?
So, according to Film School Rejects, in the 60s and 70s in England, tax laws were outrageous. Gilliam recalls some richer groups were paying up to 90% taxes.
Whoa.
So a lot of the pop stars were looking ways to make tax losses. Much of this money went into funding Holy Grail.
Donations, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah, because you can be tax exempt on donations and gifts.
Yeah,
right?
No, but Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin, to name a few, were huge Monty Python fans.
And they also wanted to evade taxes. Not evade, but they wanted to reduce their taxes. Is that what it's saying?
Yeah.
Wow, that's so bizarre.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, so I guess, like,
if they donate money, then they get to take that as a deduction on their tax form.
But
personal finance, everyone.
Right?
I'm learning. Wow, that's so... I would have never associated Monty Python with taxes.
Right? And, like, rock.
Yeah, that's so weird. Wow. Well, the more you know. This is a weird movie. So we should do research on this movie. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
This could be, like, someone's dissertation.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. But I think that's our time. First of all, we have to guess what number it is.
Oh, God. That's going to be so hard, because it's kind of, like, not super popular, but it's really good.
Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if it wasn't on the list.
Right.
Like, not in terms, not, like, in the same way I agree, I didn't think Donnie Darko should be on the list, but in terms of just, like, it's so, it's, like, not even that obscure, it's just, like, not.
No, but, like, IMDb is definitely more, like, blockbuster type films.
But I think.
And this is not that.
I think this movie has just, like, made its status, like, in, like, the following like
the
years.
Fan stuff.
Yeah. Like, I at this point, I almost think it's, like, not, like, a cult movie anymore. Like, I think.
Yes.
Most people have seen it, and, like, most people know what it is.
I have now, so.
You have. See, you're there.
One more person.
Yeah.
One more fan. God, I don't know. It's 250 movies. I'd put it.
Yes, that is the name of the podcast.
Okay. But one time, do you remember one time I was like, how many movies are on the list? I don't know. I'm going to say probably, and I wish it were higher if this is the case, like 120?
100.
Oh my god, I was close.
Very close.
I was going to say 100 to 120. Wow. I think that's the most accurate guess. I'm always like a lot. I'm always like 200 off. Like.
Yeah. No.
Oh man.
I think it definitely should be higher.
Yes.
It's like one of those things like.
Well, what are the movies that we've seen that have been higher than that we haven't liked?
Like, we haven't liked?
Or, well, I'm sure that there is a movie above that that I would be like, no, you can switch it off.
Probably above that, I would say.
See, that's just Clint Eastwood again. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
No, Million Dollar Baby's 206. Then I don't know. I feel like there's movies that I like.
This is weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, Pulp Fiction 7, but that's like within, it's like a, you know, one of those like.
Yeah. One of those movies. Fiction. Yeah. I'd like to see it higher, but I'm not surprised that it's at that number.
Like, break the top 100. So, like, which is possible.
Vote, everyone. Get on IMDb. This is your big moment to
rock
exercise
the vote.
Your rock the vote. Rock the vote for Monty Python and for rock
this
music.
This is the most important election of the year.
This is, guys. We have nothing left. Just vote for Monty Python. Get it to number one. That'll just be our goal for the next 4 years. Oh, God.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we're done. Any parting thoughts about this movie?
This was a lovely movie, and it was lovely watching it with you and talking about it with you.
Yeah.
And thank you for having me, and I probably gonna watch it again in the next month.
Yeah, during exams when you're just like done.
Oh no. Don't even get me started on that period of my life. Fast approaching.
Okay.
Faster than the clopping coconuts of Monty Python.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that. Like,
oh,
that's like the most iconic
it's
part
so
of the movie.
Funny.
Like, that's probably, it's like another thing that they like had to come up with because like budget issues. Like, they wanted horses, couldn't get horses, so they were like, coconuts, it's happening. And it's like one of those things that they were like,
oh. Oh, so this gives context to that first or the second IMDb thing, because then he is a low budget knight because he doesn't have a horse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
True.
Wow. Full circle.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you like this podcast, listen to other podcasts on the Voice Podcast Network on iTunes or Overcast. I'll get us on Google Play, unlike John Block. It's fine.
No bitterness there. Can't sense it at all.
Then follow the Georgetown Voice on Twitter at GTown Voice, and follow Halftime on Twitter at HalftimeGU. Go on www.georgetownvoice.com to read more articles, listen to more podcasts, generally enjoy yourself. You can
read my Whiskey Tango Foxtrot review from last year.
Do it.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
You can follow me on Twitter at dnhewitt96. You can follow Erica on Twitter at Erica A. Bullock, like Sandra.
But no relation. Usually Danielle says that. You forgot it on our last podcast.
I know, I'm so sad.
It's okay.
I just remembered that I forgot it. So sad.
It is very
She's
sad.
Not related to Sandra Bullock.
I'm not.
That's also sad. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's fine. I'll make my own fame. I don't care.
And then she'll be like, Sandra Bullock. No, Sandra Bullock, like Erica, no relation.
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah. But that's about it. Bye.
Bye.